Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 results conference call of Orient Green Power Company Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni from Kirin Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Orient Green Power Company Limited. From management team, the call would be addressed by Mr. Sivaraman, Managing Director and CEO, Ms. Koteshwari, Chief Financial Officer. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Sivaraman. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining our call. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to the OGPL Q1 FY26 earnings call. I would like to thank all our investors, stakeholders, and partners for their continued support and confidence in our company. The first quarter of FY26 has been a landmark one for OGPL in recent past. A combination of internal and external factors have helped us deliver one of the best performances in recent years. The internal factors have been the completion of the component upgradation in a number of our wind turbines, which were down over the last couple of years. Almost all of them are currently online, and they have been able to contribute significantly to generation this quarter. We've also been able to manage our finances much better and bring our interest costs down significantly. The external factor has been the early onset of the wind season, which actually has returned to a normal pattern after 2 years of pretty poor wind. And the wind has been sustained throughout Q1 and has also been fairly good even in Q2. So we have been able to achieve better revenues from our portfolio, revenues going closer to the long-term average of generation. And obviously, this has improved our capacity utilization, our EBITDA, and our revenues. Quickly running through our numbers, total income was 93.17 crores for the quarter, which is about  38.6% growth year-on-year. EBITDA is 265.92 crores, 46.4% better than last year. And our EBITDA margin expanded by 378 basis points to about 70.75%. Net profit, that is PAT before discontinued operations, was 28.85 crores, which is 446% year-on-year growth. And PAT margin is also 23% higher at 30.96%. This financial performance reflects the strength of our operating portfolio and also the benefits of our financial prudence. Our finance costs have declined by over 15% during the quarter and because of timely debt repayment and improved credit ratings. Going forward, we are currently constructing our 7 MW AC solar project in Tamil Nadu and final stages of awarding the contract for the 18 MW project, totaling to 25 MW. The delay in the 18 MW has been due to land due diligence issues, which, as you are all aware, is always a problem in renewable space. But now that we have almost frozen on the supply, we should be in a position to quickly implement this project. We have already signed up with customers to offer the power from this 25 MW of solar in combination with our wind so that we are able to give a diversified source of energy supply to our customers. I think with the favorable wind conditions continuing till date in Q2 and expected to continue to the end of the quarter, and with the commissioning of our solar project in the next few months, we will be in a position to deliver better results over the next few quarters. We are also looking at expansion, as we have earlier signaled that we would like to expand to about a gigawatt over the next couple of years. We are in serious discussions on quite a few inorganic acquisitions, as well as implementing certain repowering projects on our existing assets. And we are confident that over the next couple of years, we will be in a position to significantly grow our portfolio. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to sharing more updates during the year and answering questions as they come up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Faisal Hawa from H.J. Hawa & Company. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have three questions. One is, you talked about some acquisitions. So what route will we take to make these acquisitions, as our cash positions or bank balance position is not that healthy? And what are the kind of acquisitions we are looking at? Is it in wind and solar? And in which state are we situated in? Second question is, sir, if the better performance in the first quarter, how much of it would be due to the changes in our machinery and the old turbines which were off getting started, and how much of it would be due to the better wind conditions? Third question is, sir, how much lower can our interest costs go to, and what are they at present? And we did get some significant other income because of banks giving us back the extra interest that they had charged. So what is the total amount of such other income that we could get from these banks? And, sir, fourth question is that if the same wind conditions are continuing, do you feel that the second quarter also the profits could be like 2.5 to 3 times, like just like the first quarter?
Okay, so let me answer the questions that I can answer. As far as acquisitions are concerned, we are looking at across wind and solar. So, and we are definitely looking at multiple states. There are a few projects in Tamil Nadu that we are evaluating, but there are quite a few projects which are outside of Tamil Nadu. So we are being quite agnostic, and we were actually having a slight bias towards solar rather than wind, because we need to balance our portfolio somewhat. Financing of these acquisitions, we will work out as we get closer. There are multiple options, but I think that's something that, as the target kind of stabilizes, we will figure that out. As far as the increased performance due to, whether it is due to the, should we say, increased generation or increased machines. So compared to Q1 of last year, we had about 12.46 crore units as against 9.5 crore units last year, which is about 3 crore units extra, out of which almost 1 crore unit is because of improved machine availability in our machines, that is the retrofitting of the machines, and the balance 2 crore units is because of better wind. So that's the kind of split between the two. As far as the Q2 is concerned, we are still halfway through the quarter, so till date things are looking good, but last year was particularly bad in Q1 because the wind was low. Last year, in fact, year before last also, Q1 wind was quite sad. So I don't think Q2 will see as big a jump in terms of the wind availability. But there are other benefits on, you know, reduced interest rates and things like that. So I think we will be able to achieve decent results in Q2. Obviously, we have to wait for the quarter to end. As far as interest costs are concerned, we are, I think last year we were at about 9.45%. Today our interest cost is about 9.25%. So, and we are pushing towards a figure of about 8.75%, which we should be able to achieve in the coming, hopefully by the next year. That's the target that we have, another 0.5% interest reduction is what we're looking for. I think that's pretty much...
Sir, what is the blended per unit realization that we are getting? And at the acquisitions we are looking at, what is the per unit realization? Because
that's
now the...
See, that's a little difficult business. Because as far as acquisitions are concerned, there are two types. One is that we are looking at certain assets which are in long-term PPAs, which have lower realization, but then they have a 15-20-year PPA. So that's a different kind of animal. And our group captive assets have a, I mean, each, I think we have an average net realization of around 5 rupees plus. From our group captive assets, which will be more or less similar if we acquire more such assets. So the combination is different. Obviously, when we are acquiring assets, operating assets, if the tariff is lower, we would be paying a slightly lower price. And when we acquire operating assets with higher tariff, the price that we pay is higher. But there are pluses. When I acquire assets with long-term PPAs, there is a 15-20-year stability of income. Whereas with the group captive assets, the PPA durations are typically shorter.
Oh, I'll come back into the queue for more questions, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to congratulate the team for a very good set of numbers for the Q1. Am I audible?
Yes,
yeah, perfectly audible.
All right, yeah. So the first question that I want to check, how we are doing the energy storage solution inside for the wind power? If you can throw some color on that, that's question number one. And question number two, I heard you saying that the 7 megawatt solar capacity we have entered into the contract. So do we have any timeline, like when we expect this to be commissioned? And is there a possibility we can start seeing the revenues coming in this financial year? And the third question is, can you give us any revenue guidance for this 25, 26 and 26, 27? Collectively on a consolidated basis. Thank you.
I didn't catch your last question. What was that?
The revenue guidance on the consolidated basis.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So firstly, on energy storage, we are currently evaluating the feasibility of energy storage both on the solar and the wind side. At current battery costs, it looks quite tight. It looks not really viable without some kind of a subsidy, which is not available to IPPs unless you go to a government PPA. But we are seeing battery prices dropping continuously, so this is something that we are closely evaluating, and I would think that we would be kind of getting into battery storage sooner rather than later. But the timeline will depend on when the numbers start making sense from an IRR point of view. With regard to the 7 megawatt solar project, I think we are looking at about November or December of this year when the project will get commissioned. Revenue guidance, typically we do not give going forward because two reasons. One is we are in the wind industry, so it depends a lot on how the Vayu Bhagavan helps us. And the second part, of course, is that since there are commission conversations happening, the baseline itself may change. So we normally do not provide forward-looking guidance. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and the best of luck for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sakshi Shinde from Orient Green Power Company. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My question is, what is the current average operational efficiency of wind turbines, and has it improved as compared to the last year?
No, the turbine efficiency does not change year on year much because we already have the turbines, they're fixed, so it is dependent. I mean, the only thing that we can do is ensure that they operate 24/7 during the wind season. So it's more or less the same. It's only about what our generation difference is dependent mainly on wind and reducing breakdowns. or downtime.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhana Tolani, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Dhana, please go ahead with your question and unmute yourself in case if you are on mute. Dhana, please go ahead with your question. Since there is no response, we will move to the next participant. The question comes from the line of Faisal Hawa from H.G. Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
What is our per unit generation that we are getting from the private players at this point of time, and how sustainable it is? Because overall, the renewable energy rates have fallen to almost 2.75 or 2.5 units rupees per unit. And do you feel that this can sustain any effect of the U.S. tariffs on us, because most of our customers are also in the garmenting industry? And second question is, sir, what is the kind of priority now this company holds for the Shriram Group? Because most of the other companies have been sold off or have been classified as not Shriram Group companies, and promoter holding also remains extremely low. So will this company and its operations get a lot of priority? Because we have been talking of going to 1GW from a very long time, and even the annual report does not give any perfect roadmap for it. So is it a correct assumption that we will now go to 1GW, say, in 1 year's time from today?
Okay. I don't think I can give you a timeline on the gigawatt. So the only thing I can say is that we are working very hard on it, and all of us are kind of committed to doing it. There's a lot of work happening on the ground, but it's not at a stage where we can kind of communicate it formally to shareholders. As far as the sustainability of the tariffs that we have decent PPAs. Our exposure to the garment industry is not very large. We have a lot more exposure to auto component and other manufacturing, and relatively small exposure to textile and garments. So we are not, from that point of view, we don't see an issue with the U.S. Tariffs. In terms of reduced costs, see, the drop in price is primarily, a lot of it is on solar. Not so much on the wind side. Wind has also dropped in price, but not that much. And if you see, new capacity addition in Tamil Nadu has not been that dramatic in the wind side because of tightness in availability of suitable wind lands. So we do see some competition in terms of pricing, but it is not dramatic, and it's not really putting a significant downward pressure. The other part is that a lot of our customers are still not achieved 100% renewables. Their target is to achieve 100% renewables by 2030 or before. Most of our guys are still at 40-50%. So there is quite a bit of headroom even within the existing customer base to expand our supply. And our constraint actually has been supply, that we have not been able to generate enough power to supply the customers, rather than not having enough customers to buy our power, which is why this solar makes sense, and which is why we will look at hybrid and repowering some of our older turbines to increase generation within the existing portfolio. So we are quite comfortable on that front. We do have, shall we say, support from our promoters to go forward, and we will find structures that work for growing the company. Thank you.
So my question about the unclaimed so far interest which bank had overcharged us, how much is that still recoverable and is in litigation with the ombudsman? That question still remains unanswered.
That will be depending on the banks. We have lodged a claim of around total 50 crores, out of which 9.3 crores Bank of Baroda has given. The balance 40 crores depends on how banking ombudsman gives us the award.
And so suppose some of these acquisitions do not go through because of any technical reasons or some reasons on price factor, what is our plan B?
Because we have raised two rights issues for expanding the capacity, and on ground that capacity increase has really not taken place.
Yeah, see, there has been a delay in the solar because we had signed up a PPA, I mean an agreement with an EPC contractor for 25 megawatts. Unfortunately, when we went into the detail of the diligence of the land, we found there was a big hole in the land. So we were forced to reallocate our, should we say, this thing to two other contractors to keep moving because we could not take that risk. As far as the acquisitions are concerned, I think we have currently far more conversations than we can complete. So there are multiple options available. So the probability that all of them will go for it is very, very low. So we have more options than we need. So I'm fairly confident that we will be able to get there. Organic growth will take more time because these projects take quite some time to develop in terms of land and in terms of evacuation. And especially Tamil Nadu wind land is become an absolute massive bottleneck because most of the places where the wind is viable have been already filled up. And the few other places that are available, there is a grid connectivity bottleneck. So I think the way to go in Tamil Nadu at least will be only inorganic and also repowering. We have a fairly substantial repowering portfolio. We were constrained by government regulation not being conducive. There were quite a few kind of holes in the government regulation for repowering. Most of those have been ironed out. There is still a little bit of work that needs to be done with the electricity authority and the regulator. We hope to get that done in the next month, month and a half, and then we will be able to start the repowering process on our existing old assets. That will give us the advantage that you already have the grid, you have the land, you only need to knock down the old turbine and put in a new turbine, which will substantially improve generation with as low a cost as possible.
And sir, what are the per unit or per MW price that we are looking at if we acquire, say, solar and or if we acquire wind? So what is the kind of capital that we'll need? Because any shareholder would need this figure to understand how much your equity will expand or how much your debt will expand in future.
Once we finalize these deals, we will have to come to the shareholders for approval for all doing all these things. So at that point, I think it is today too premature to talk about it because this is a very wide range of assets that we're looking at. So as soon as we have clarity, we have a handshake with some of these things, we will come to the shareholder for approval. And obviously, we will be at that point sharing all the data that we have on it.
And sir, are we discounting any of our outstanding of customer?
Could you please rejoin the queue for more questions?
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sakshi Singhania from Unity Finance. Please go ahead. Sakshi, please go ahead with your question and unmute yourself in case if you are on mute. Since there is no response, we will move to the next participant. The question comes from the line of Dana Tolani, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Dana, please go ahead with your question.
Abhi?
Since there is no response, we will...
Hello?
Hello? Yes, please go ahead. Yes, not quite. You need to speak a little louder.
One second. Am I audible now?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions with me. I'll just start with the first one. I've seen the good YOY growth in total income in Q1 effect of this. So what is the main key driver behind that?
Yeah, so two drivers. One is we had a few turbines which needed major component upgradation that we managed to do over the last year. So those have been fully operational this year, generating about 1 crore extra units compared to last year. Second is that the wind season started a little early this year and has been quite sustained during Q1. So that added about 2 crores to our total 2 crore units to our generation. So we have a total about 3 crore extra units, basically split between these two.
Also connecting to this question, like EBITDA grew also well, like the margin expansion of around
350. Our major cost in this business is O&M, which is more or less fixed, and interest costs. So if as we generate more power with the same assets, we will immediately have, most of that falls to EBITDA.
Okay. So how much of this from volume, and was it from cost efficiency or was it from volume?
No, we see there are in the profit side, some of it is from interest efficiency because we have had lower interest costs this quarter. But from the operation side, it is basically operational efficiency because we have very few levers in cost. We have some cost efficiency gains in O&M costs, but that is small compared to the overall cost of running the business. So in the wind business, you have to look mostly at operational efficiency rather than at cost efficiency.
Okay, so also if we check the bottom line, it has increased tremendously. What are the main factors contributing to this factor? Because if you check the comparison between the EBITDA and the PAT, EBITDA increased by 46% and PAT increased by around 400%. Why? What are the main, what makes this huge increase?
Yeah, because last year the EBITDA was, the interest cost is fixed. So last year we had an EBITDA of around 45 crores. Against which we had a finance cost of about 18 crores and or 19 crores almost, and depreciation of 20 crores. So effectively, we had only about 5.5 crores of PBT from a 45 crore EBITDA. This year, if you look at it, we had an EBITDA of almost 66 crores. Our finance cost was lower; 19 crores came down to 16 crores, and depreciation is more or less the same, 20 crores more or less the same. So basically, we had a saving of about 2 crores, almost 3 crores in finance cost, and a higher EBITDA, so that entire difference drops to PBT.
So the main reason behind the finance cost due to the loan repayment or debt repayment or the credit rating impact? What is the reason behind that?
See, the interest rates have also come down marginally, 20 basis points to 30 basis points. However, from the cost side, but major increases in the profit is due to the wind generation, out of which already sir has explained that the AP, some of the machines which were down, they were restored, and due to which at least the bottom line has increased at least 7 to 8 crores, and the balance is due to high wind. The wind season is onset is early, so because of that, directly the entire wind which is additionally generated goes to the cash profit.
Okay, so it is at an industry level, the finance cost declined, or do we have the separate or the main benefit from the finance cost?
No, I don't understand the question.
No, if you are asking about wind, at industrial level. See, because all the industry which has wind in Tamil Nadu, the same higher generation would have been there, provided they have maintained their assets, machine availability correctly. And with reference to interest...
Year on year, actually this year Tamil Nadu only has outperformed. Andhra, the wind is more or less similar to last year. And Gujarat also, the wind was similar, more or less similar to last year. So it is only Tamil Nadu in our portfolio which has actually outperformed this year compared to last year. Actually, last year actually Tamil Nadu underperformed. It should have been better last year, but it was worse than what we had hoped for.
So we can say we have a geographical benefit.
We had a bit of a geographical benefit this year.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from us.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
I'm audible, sir?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yes, sir. Sir, I have my first question that I have is for FY25. Can you just give me the number of units that has been sold versus the PLF?
PLF is a little. See, FY20, you're talking about full year FY25?
Yes, sir.
So full year FY25, we had a total of about 55 crore units which were generated.
Units,
25.5 crore units.
Does that answer your question, Majid?
Yes.
Majid, you are not quite audible. You are not quite audible.
Come on.
No, you're breaking up.
Yes. Is it audible now? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
And now I can hear you.
Yes, sir. So second question that I have is, in terms of your receivables, I've seen around 19 to 20 crores of receivables. This is your receivable aging is around 2 to 3 years. Would it be again any impairment of ECL, expected credit loss, or any receivable losses?
No, this is the 20 crore money which is lying in the AP government interest they have to pay us on the old outstanding dues, which we went to court and got settled, and we received 75 crores last 2 years back. So this 19 crores, again, we are pushing for, while the court has ordered it to be paid to us, but due to their financial difficulty, they are delaying it. And as a practice, because of the Ind AS applicability, we do provide the ECL as part of the accounts, which is a non-cash expenditure. So that will be there. Except for that, there are no long-term receivables. Our receivables will be less than 30 days.
Okay. Got it. Sir, and final question that I have, sir, is there any debt repayment or will happen, sir, for this year, FY26, through strong cash flow generation?
Routine repayment is going on as per the,
around 100 crores will be the debt repayment for the current year.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, sir, and thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Abhinav Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Abhinav, please go ahead with your question and unmute yourself in case if you're on mute. Since there is no response, we will move to the next participant. The question comes from the line of Sanjay Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you once again. Mr. Sivaraman, just wanted to know, are you in a position to give us an estimate how much the unit we have generated so far in Q2, since you said that wind onset is still better for Q2?
I didn't get your question. Could you repeat yourself?
No, I just wanted to understand how good the wind onset is for the current quarter, in July to September. So,
Q2 is more or less, it is better than last year, but it is not, the delta is not as much as Q1 was, because Q1 last year was particularly bad. So, Q2 is fairly decent. But then, yes.
And is it across?
Yes, still halfway through Q2.
Yeah. And so, another question, since this wind generation is very seasonal, right? I just wanted to understand, for Q3 and Q4, what kind of weather conditions generally prevails? And during this time, how do we supply to our customers? And how the BAU runs?
Yeah, we do have some amount of wind, some amount of generation in the Q3, Q4. I think something like 70% of our generation happens in Q1, Q2, and 30% still happens in Q3 and Q4. So we do have some generation happening there. And in the state of Tamil Nadu, we have what is called banking, where we are permitted to, at a particular cost, essentially bank the power that we generate with the electricity board and draw on it in the off-season. So typically what we do to supply power to the customer in the off-season is to draw on the banked power. There is a 14% cost for banking the power, which we factor into our P&L.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So does it mean during the Q3 and Q4, do we recover that cost from the client as well? Or is it a cost to the company?
Yeah. See, when we look at our average realization, we cover both the banking costs, transmission costs, all those things are covered.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. And Mr. Shivaraman, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's a great to see that you guys are coming out with this earnings form for the first time in many years. So can we hope that going forward, we will have this opportunity as a shareholder to, you know, interact with the management?
I'm committing that we will have this earnings call every quarter.
That's really good, wonderful. So I will not, I will store my questions for the next order. And once again, all the best for the rest of the financial year. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mahesh Seth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
A little louder, Mahesh, a little louder.
Okay. So my first question was like, can you elaborate on like plans to sell power under group captive model and any potential clients lined up for this?
No, we are already selling almost 300 odd megawatts of power on group captive. So this is something that we've been doing from day one of OGPL. So, and we have a set of clients whom we have been supplying for more than a decade now, and we continue to supply power to them. We have a few more clients whom we keep talking to. So there's always a bit of a, and as we add capacity with the solar and repowering and things, we will definitely be looking at new customers. So that's an ongoing activity.
Okay, got it. And like beyond the current solar addition, like what is your pipeline for future renewable energy projects?
Right now, the next project that we are looking to do, depending on the certain kind of governmental clearances, is repowering of some of our old wind assets, where we will be putting in new generation turbines within the existing wind farms. We will most probably add solar to those projects also. So it will be repowered as a hybrid of wind and solar to better optimally use the transmission resources that we have. So that is one thing that we will do. We are looking at a further 25 megawatts of 20 or 25 megawatts of solar once this is done, because the first project we are funding entirely with equity, so we will have the headroom to take on some debt to finance another 25 megawatts of solar. So that we will get going immediately after we complete, we finalize phase one and construction starts. So these two are the greenfield or brownfield projects that we are looking to do. Repowering will keep us busy for a couple of years because there are a number of our sites that need to be repowered. But as I had said earlier, there are some regulatory issues that need to be resolved before it becomes possible. So that's something that we are working on along with the association, the wind turbine or the wind farm, wind power producers association. So as part of the association, we are pushing to get these things done.
Okay, fine. And as you mentioned the wind power, so like what are your expectations for wind generation in like next quarter, which is Q2 FY26, and like will it impact our revenue?
So Q2 FY26, as I said, right now the wind looks good, so we are hoping that we will be able to do better than we did in Q2 of last year. But this is an area where we can't predict. So we have to, climate models are telling us that the generation will be good, but the model is only a model until it actually happens. So we are just looking at the weather.
Does that answer your question, Mahesh?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. That's it from us. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Monica Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Very good morning. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible. Morning.
Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So my first question is like, what is the competitive advantage over the other independent power producers in India?
Uh, there are basically, okay, there are quite a few of us around. So, one advantage that we have is that we have a set of customers who have been with us for a long time. We have that, the comfort, they have a comfort with us, we have comfort with them. So that's, and they are very, very solvent customers, number one. Number two, we have a bunch of assets in the older wind sites, which once the repowering policy becomes usable, we have the ability to repower those, which a greenfield project cannot do. And thirdly, our older assets, we have a much more favorable transmission and banking regulation. That is not available to new assets. The old assets have these benefits grandfathered in for the life of the asset. So that's an advantage that we get. For example, if I put up a brand new wind farm today, I can only bank the power within the month. I have to consume whatever power I generate, I have to consume it within the month. Whereas for the older assets that we have, we can bank it for a full financial year. So these are the benefits that for a customer, if he is able to, I will be able to supply him power in the off-season, which a new wind farm cannot. So these are the three kind of advantages that we have over a new IPP.
Okay, great. So are there any expected policy changes or any incentive?
No incentives. There are always policy changes. The policy on renewables has been in a constant state of flux for the last so many years. So that's something that we always have. Our purpose, both directly and through the through an association of which we are part, is to try to see that the policy changes are positive for the industry. We have been successful in many cases. We have not been successful in some cases. We had, for example, some years ago, a very good policy on renewable energy certificates, but unfortunately, due to policy changes, that market pretty much died. We were able to kind of refocus and get out of that game. So, I mean, but then this repowering and good capital policies is something that we are working to ensure that it continues to be positive for the industry. So, it's part of life.
Okay, thanks. And how does it trend, particularly in Europe, affect your operation and expansion that you're doing in Croatia?
We are not planning to expand Croatia. Croatia is a very, very historical asset. We bought it a long time ago when we were supposed to get a 160 megawatt license in Croatia. Unfortunately, we could not get the balance 50 megawatts. We had only 10 megawatts. So we have 50% of 10 megawatts that's operating. There's a local partner who runs it, and we have no plans to expand in Croatia.
Okay, all right. So my last question is that can you please provide some guidance on the CAPEX for FY26, including wind and solar additions that you're doing?
We can't do that right now. We have to, I think those are things which, in terms of generation, it depends on the weather, and in terms of capacity expansion, it depends on many things. So I don't think we can provide guidance.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Vinod Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Vinod.
Yes. So what was the Q1 FY26 cash from operations?
₹66 crores.
Okay. And free cash flow after the maintenance capex?
Maintenance capex was this quarter very low. Probably it will be around 63 crores after capex.
And what was the average PLF across your wind assets in
Q1?
And like, how do you prioritize between wind and solar when expanding capacity, like even the current market environment?
See, I mean, we wanted to do 50 megawatts of solar because we needed the throughout the year power generation for some of our customers. So greenfield, probably we will do solar. We may not do much of wind greenfield, but we will continue to do wind repowering because that gives us actually a better IRR in terms of the project than greenfield solar or greenfield wind, because obviously we have existing infrastructure that we are able to leverage. So at the end of the day, we look to see what makes more money, and depending on that, we will decide.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa & Company. Please go ahead.
Sir, our market cap at this point of time is only 1700 crores. And any one GW asset would be, in wind power at least, would be worth at least $1 billion, which is 8700 crores. So what is our debt at this point of time? So I guess our debt is around 500 crores. So we are valued only at 2200 crores. So at such low valuations, even if we dilute more and do more acquisitions, what is the advantage to the current shareholder?
No, see,
and
we will...
Can you also say what is the current debt? Because I am assuming it's 500 crores. So the enterprise value comes to 2200 crores.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas... Yeah. Debt. I hope you are getting the gist of my question.
550 crores. Debt is about 550 crores.
Yeah. So,
we are not going to acquire assets or do stuff just for the heck of it or just for the sake of going to a gigawatt. We will not be acquiring any asset that does not make economic sense. So unless we see serious economic sense in acquiring any particular asset, that is the only time that we will acquire. It is probable that we will not do any large deals, because when you have these 500, 600 megawatt single assets which are available for acquisition, you find all your big multinational, private equity funded companies which jump in. So our focus is on the mid-size assets, the medium-sized assets, which may not be as interesting to one of these large platforms, but which are very interesting to us because we have the capability to manage these mid-sized assets, having already been managing those assets. So we will look at it, and as I said, when we come to handshake level on any of these transactions, we will definitely come to the shareholders for the thing. I can assure you that we will not do anything that doesn't make economic sense. If it does not make economic sense to you as a minority shareholder, it does not make economic sense to us as a promoter shareholder. So if it does not add value to the shareholders, we are not going to do anything.
And one thing which I have not been able to understand is that Shriram Group is I will not even say it is one of the most respected group. To me, it is the most respected group in India. Because where does this asset or this company stand in our overall scheme of things? Because that is very important for me to understand as to how we will run this company, say, 10 years ahead or 5 years ahead. And I have been reading annual reports of your company and various other things, but I am not getting a clear answer to it.
See,
I'll just rephrase my question. So where, you know, Shriram Finance has been built up on the ethics, the values, and the corporate governance. I feel that even if you are able to do like 20% of that in this company, it could be, but finally, see, you have so many assets and so many priorities. I want to really have an answer from you that what priority will this asset be given?
As far as the scheme is concerned, our only priority is OGPL. Shriram Finance is a different setup. It's a different business entirely. The group has exited some of the businesses, but there is no plan or no thought of exiting the renewable energy business, we are here in this for the long run to create value as an entity, which we believe that shareholder value will come automatically. As long as if we are running our business well and we are making the right choices in terms of acquisition, definitely we will do well. OGPL has had a few, issues in the past, The most recent was the dispute that we had with the Honorable Government of Andhra Pradesh, where we had at peak more than 100 crores of money stuck with the government for almost over 2 years. And for a company with our top line, having 100 crores stuck for 2 years is not a joke. So that, and before that we had other issues with our biomass and other assets, but our primary in the last 4-5 years, the big issue has been Andhra. And that pretty much put any thought of expansion on hold for a few years. Now that that problem is completely behind us, we have been able to do the restructuring of the debt or the refinancing of the debt with IREDA at a more reasonable rate. Because of default with Andhra Pradesh, our interest rates went up, our debt servicing was become a problem. It had a lot of knock-on effects. It was not just 100 crores of money not being there. I think it probably cost us another 50, 60 crores, maybe even 100 crores in terms of extra interest that we paid over the years that Andhra didn't pay us. And loss of opportunity in so many other places. So anyway, that is behind us. So we now think that we are in a position to really start, put the pedal to the metal and start moving forward. This year, I think, has given us a good kickstart, because last year wind was terrible. But this year, I think, with the everything is kind of positive for us. The wind is good. The regulation is looking to get better for us in terms of repowering. There were some constraints or some questions on group captive in Tamil Nadu. That is more or less behind us. We have good clarity on that also. So I think all the kind of stars are moving in the right direction. So let's see how it goes.
So is it a good assumption to make that, sir, even after we expand to 1 GW, we may not have to expand the operations team that much, and the current operation team itself or the maintenance team itself could take care of the new assets, and there will not be much increase to operational cost, and whatever the cost increase will be just on the cost of interest and equity. And so is that a good assumption to make? And secondly, sir, can you give some light as to how our maintenance team is and who actually maintains these wind turbines, and what could be the life of the present assets?
Yeah, so the operations team, the site team will expand. Maybe not proportionately, because see, there are two things. One is that there are a set of windmills which are wind turbines which are maintained by the OEM or by strong third-party maintenance companies. So when we have those turbines, they basically our site operations team is more monitoring their performance, ensuring that they're not asleep. Other than that, we don't do actual hands-on maintenance. That is one set of assets. The other set of assets where we maintain it with our own in-house team. So we have both models operating at the moment. Certain turbines where we are not able to find a good third-party maintenance company and the original equipment manufacturer is either not there or asking for very unreasonable rates, we maintain it ourselves. The newer assets, it will depend on what kind of should we say maintenance arrangements are available with them. If they are again third-party or OEM maintained, then our site costs will not dramatically increase. Our head office costs definitely will not increase with the acquisitions, because we will not need more CFOs and more MDs for running the company. I think we have enough bandwidth there. But site costs increase will depend on what kind of asset acquisition happens. Because both make sense. Certain turbines it makes sense to let the OEM run it, but certain turbines it makes sense to maintain it ourselves. So that call we take, we have the ability, we are one of the people who have the ability to do it both ways. We are not like some IPP is completely dependent on third-party maintenance. So we have the ability to do it with our own in-house team, who have now 10-15 years of experience in maintaining our own turbines. We are currently maintaining turbines where the original equipment manufacturer has been bankrupt for 10 years, and we are still running the turbines well.
So you did mention that a lot of your customers have a mandate to go to renewable energy by 2030. So what could be the total addressable market in the 300 kilometers radius that you are in?
No, in Tamil Nadu. See, it's not 300 kilometers. The whole of Tamil Nadu. Let me be honest. I am today turning away more customers than I have. Everybody needs it. Yesterday I was in a meeting where we were talking to officials from CPCL. They are wanting to buy 50, 60 megawatts 100 plus megawatts equivalent of renewable power, because they need the power for their own refinery in Chennai. We have not even, see, the bulk of the renewable purchase which is happening now is the export-focused units in the auto sector and in the IT sector. So these are the two people who are increasingly buying renewables. It has not yet gone into the heavy engineering or the heavy chemical and the manufacturing, the hardcore manufacturing space. Your cement, your steel, all these people are not buying renewables at the scale at which they need to buy. So, I mean, frankly, the market is infinite. It is, the more power that we generate, and we are not restricted only to selling to group captive. If you go out of Tamil Nadu, we will be definitely doing PPA. We are very happy with the PPA that we have with Gujarat. There are certain projects that we are looking at there. So, I mean, we are, I think, to something 190 gigawatts is our total non-thermal generation in India, connected load or installed capacity. Target is to take it to 500 gigawatts by 2030, which, okay, may not happen, but at least there is a target, and even then it will be a small percentage of the total power generation that is happening in the country. So I think, frankly, we are not worried about the market for selling our power. Our worry is, how do we generate power at a reasonable price so that we are able to address the market and make a decent margin? The market is infinite. And frankly, the competition is also not, we don't have the cutthroat competition that you see in some, this thing that people are undercutting your prices and things like that. The competition is very sane because everybody has the same cost base. Everybody is looking at the same numbers. Everybody has the same interest, more or less the same interest cost, more or less the same capital cost. So, and everybody wants the same kind of IRA. Everybody wants to make a decent IRA. So we don't see that as a major kind of headache.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni for the closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of Orient Green Power Company Limited. Further, if you have any queries, you can write to us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.